reading this morning from the 9th chapter of Luke. 9th chapter of Luke. Before I read the scripture, last Sunday morning, I noticed those that were operating the sound system, they were having some difficulty. Couldn't get things going. And Sunday night, Mike Tom was back there and he waved at me. That means turn your mic on. And I flipped it on. When it was all over, Tom said we couldn't get anything. And I looked and the battery was in the office. This system does not work at all without battery. Turn to the 9th chapter of St. Luke's Gospel. I'm going to read from the 57th verse. Luke chapter 9, verse number 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the gospel, the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow, and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. I want to read that last verse again, and that would be the essence of the first part of the sermon. Jesus said, No man having put his hand to the plow, and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. As you read the Bible, you realize that not only does the Lord that we're serving forgive sins and save us, but He provides everything that we need in life to get established in the truth and continue in living the victorious life. And one place in the Bible where Jude was writing, he said, Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Let me say that again this morning. Not only does the Lord Jesus save us from our sins, He has provided everything that we need to live right and to make it to the end of the way and have an abundant entrance into heaven. Everything has been supplied that you and I might live in victory and one day be ready. One day, having been ready, cross over to the other side. That's not the picture of some people, I realize that. Many say, I'm just barely holding on, or I'm just making it a little bit, but that is not the story that I find in the Bible of a real Christian. We are established in the faith, and we abound in the work of God, and we know in whom we have believed, and we're holding His hand, and we're running the race, and we're going to cross the finish line. Can you say amen? I started out to go all the way. Thank God, thank God. Here in today's scripture, Jesus states a very important Bible truth. He saves to the uttermost. He forgives sins. When I got saved and when you got saved, God forgave every sin that we had ever committed. Didn't leave one undone. When we find what Jesus is saying, He keeps us from falling, that I just read from Jude. And listen to this, if you will. It's up to us. I want to say that again. It's my responsibility to follow the Lord. He will do His part. I must do mine. There is a doctrine today that's being taught to millions in America. That is a false doctrine. And when you get saved, it's up to the Lord now to get you to heaven. Don't you ever believe that you don't have a part to do with it. Jesus is saying in the scripture that I've read about putting your hand to the plow and turning back, He's saying there is a possibility. It is not of necessity, but there is a possibility that someone will start out on the journey, but they will not complete it. They will enlist in the army of the Lord, but they will desert. They will begin the race, but they will not finish it. They will get saved, but they will fail to go on. And there's a verse, a course. In this course book, you've got to keep walking. Keep right on walking. Walking in the light of the Lord. You'll get to heaven someday if you walk the right way. So keep walking in the light of the Lord. What is the right way, Brother Jones? It's walking in the light of the Lord. What is the right way? Right here. Amen. 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 In John chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus said, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." Jesus is saying, if you will keep on walking, if you keep on serving, if you keep on loving me, if you keep on going with me, we'll make it together. Hallelujah. I want to preach today about the importance of continuing in the faith. The importance of staying saved, getting saved and staying saved. The importance of going on with the Lord. In the 62nd verse of today's scripture, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." I'm going to use that as the first part of the sermon and close on an altogether different note. I'm just going to give two or three Bible illustrations of those that started the race and failed to go on. Put their hand to the plow, in essence, and turned back. I would like to begin with a man called Saul. I was preparing for the sermon, then I read again this morning, and I jotted some things down in my Bible in the 9th chapter of 1 Samuel. The Bible says Saul was a choice young man and a goodly. We don't use that terminology, "and a goodly." That means he was a good man. "And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he." The Bible tells me that God looked down upon the Israeli nation when they called out to God and said, "God, we would like to have a king and be like all the other peoples. We'd like to have a king to rule over us." And really, God did not want that. He wanted to rule over them. But when Samuel came to him, he said, "Give them a king." I want everyone to understand this. God didn't say, "Just give them any king." God handpicked Saul. Now, he's a good man. He was an humble man. He was obedient to God. God called him. God anointed him. God handpicked him and said, "Saul, the people want a king, and I'm going to give them a king, and I want you to be the first king. I know that you have the capabilities. I know that you can lead them. I've watched your life. You're a good man. You're an humble man. You've been a good son. And I'm calling you to lead the people of Israel and be their king." The Bible tells me that he was obedient and was abundantly blessed by God. And God gave him great victories in the first years of his reign over Israel. Yet there came a time in his life, the Bible tells me, that God sent a prophet to Saul to say these words, "It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be the king. For he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments." God said to Samuel, "Go tell King Saul, it repenteth me that I chose you because you've let me down. You've turned your back. You did well. You ran well. You served me well. You lived well. But you came to a place in your life where you turned back. No longer were you going to obey me and do as I asked you to do, but you were going to do your own thing. You decided that you knew better than God. And so you went your own way and you turned back." And I want you to think about it. After all God had done for Saul, he rebelled in his heart. He disobeyed God's command. He determined to do what he wanted to do. And he lost out with God. He turned back. Somebody said, "Well, Brother Jones, how do we know he really lost out totally?" Maybe there came a time in his life. God has now said, "Samuel, go tell King Saul that it repented me I'm sorry that I ever chose you. You've let me down. You turned back. Some have asked me, maybe you have a question yourself. How do we know what happened from then on? Some people have had, like Jonah in our Sunday school lesson, have disobeyed God and God gave them another chance. And I thank God that He does. I want to read two verses from the 16th chapter of 1 Samuel. People have asked, does the statement that God made to Samuel actually mean that he was lost for eternity? Or is it possible that he maybe repented and came back to God? I'm going to read the first verse of the 16th chapter of 1 Samuel. God said to Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him? God said, I have rejected him. In the 14th verse, the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. God rejected him, and then God withdrew His Spirit. And Saul died on the battlefield, having been rejected by God, with God having withdrawn His Spirit from Saul, he died on the battlefield, lost, without hope. Let me leave this with you. All of us. If God were to withdraw His Spirit, we would be dead spiritually. The Bible says all of us as sinners were dead in trespasses and sins. And if God no longer is in our heart and life, withdraws His Spirit from us, we are not of Him. And there are people preaching today that if you've ever been saved, God will never withdraw His Spirit. Paul, the Bible says, God told Samuel that I've withdrawn my Spirit from him. I've turned my back on him. I've rejected him because he's rejected me. He turned his back on God and lost out. I went further in the Bible. I read the story, a very sad story, found in the book of Genesis. And I'm going to read from the 19th chapter. Turn there with me. 19th chapter of Genesis. Genesis 19, verse 15. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and the two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Read from the 24th verse. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. I want you to see the story. God saw the evil and the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, I'm going to destroy these ungodly, wicked, immoral people. But before he did, he sent some angels to Lot's house, Lot being a righteous man. He sent some angels to Lot's house to get them to come out of the city before God destroys. Let me make a statement. God never destroys the righteous in judgment. The Bible says the angels went there and they spent the night there. Can you imagine having angels in your home and say, you have the guest room, bedroom tonight? You've been different places where they say, Abraham Lincoln stayed in this hotel. Or John F. Kennedy ate in this restaurant. I want you to know, they could have said, angels slept in our house. God had blessed. God had been good to them, brought them out by the angels leading them out. And he said, one thing, he said, but don't turn around. Don't look back. Whatever you do, don't look back. I'm going to destroy the city, the angel said. God's going to destroy the city, but don't look back. Whatever you do, don't look back. And the Bible says when they got out of the city, Lot's wife turned and looked back and became a pillar of salt. I'll tell you one thing again. She died lost. Had gotten all the way to safety. Had gotten out of the city that was being destroyed. Got all the way to the plain. All the way to safety. Everything was wonderful. And yet she turned and looked back. Some people say, why in the world would she turn around when she, God has led them out and brought them out? Angels walking with them, holding their hands, going to safety out there. Why would she turn around? Let me leave this with you today. Something in Sodom was more important to her than safety in the plain. God brought her out of Sodom, and yet there was something about that back there that caused her, something in her heart, something longing, something caused her to turn around. I want to use a personal illustration. When my wife and I got saved in February 1955, we'd been up and down, in and out of church. When we made our way to the altar that Sunday in 1955, I made up my mind. I'm going all the way. And God said to me, in essence, the same thing He said to Lot's wife, don't look back. And I can tell you this morning, after all of these years of serving God, there is nothing to go back to. God changed my life completely, saved me of all of that mess. Gave me a new vision for my life and for eternity, and there's nothing to go back to. Something back there in Sodom that caused Lot's wife to turn around. Let me say this today, and I'm going to hurry along. Keep this in mind. When you sell out to God, sell out lock, stock, and barrel. Burn every bridge behind you. The devil will tempt you. Long as you live, the devil will tempt you and tell you, oh, look what you left behind. Look how good it was. Look at all that's back there. Brother, there's nothing back there. All that we have, we want is back yonder with the Lord. Amen, amen. Young people, whatever you do, get saved and stay saved. Serve God with all of your heart. She turned to a pillar of salt. Somebody said, well, Brother Jones, I don't know whether I believe all of that or not. Listen closely. If this Bible says it, you better believe it. Third illustration. I was reading in my daily devotions this week. I have just completed the book of Numbers. Going through the Bible again. I was reading in the 14th chapter of Numbers how that God had Moses to send the spies. They have arrived at Kadesh Barnea. Right over there is the promised land. He sent the spies out to go into the land. To search the land, to find out what, how the lay of the land and all the rest. And when these 12 spies came back from searching the land of Canaan, they had some glowing reports. My, my, you ought to see the grapevines. You ought to see the pomegranate trees. You ought to see all the, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a beautiful land. And yet, some of the spies said, oh yes, it was. But we saw some cities over there that are walled with standing armies. We saw some men like giants in the land, and they are great people in the land, and we can't. We have no hope to overthrow them. And so they listened to the 10 who said, let's go back. Let's go back to Egypt. Let's find someone to lead us, and let's let Moses and Aaron and this crowd have what they want, but let's get somebody to be our captain and let's go back to Egypt. And listen to what they said. Let's go back to Egypt where there was milk and honey. They have forgotten in a year and a half the brickyards, the torment, the torture, the beatings, the sweat, all they went through, bondage and slavery. They said, let's go back. And you know the story. How that God said, I will destroy every man 20 years of age and above because of their disbelief and unbelief, and they'll die in the wilderness. And every man 20 years of age and above died in the wilderness except Caleb and Joshua. Moses and Aaron died on the mount before the nation of Israel went in, 123 years of age. But Joshua and Caleb went into the land. All the other of that generation perished. They died. They turned back. They looked back. And my statement to everyone this morning, whatever you do, some have been saved a long time like my wife and I. The sad part about it is this. How many have lived for the Lord for years and then turned back? That breaks my heart to see people that serve God, that love God, that were faithful to the church, faithful to God, and way down the road, when they're getting way up in years, turn back and begin to take up the things of the world. They look back and then they go back. God help us. Not only get started, but keep on going. Jesus said, he that putteth his hand to the plow and looketh back is not fit for the kingdom of God. He that starts out towards heaven and goes back to the sin and looks back to the sins of the world is not fit for heaven. But I want to change the sermon and tell you something else. I thank God this morning out of the depths of my heart for everyone that I read of in this Bible that made it to the end with victory. I've read church history. I've read of men like Polycarp, and I've read of men like D.L. Moody, and I've read of men like John and Charles Wesley and George Whitfield and so many others. And then I went to the library, and we've got several books, several volumes of missionaries, and I've read many of them, and how that they gave up everything of this world to spread the gospel, and they made it to the end with victory in their hearts and in their lives. Brother, they made it. And I say thank God for everyone that started out and went all the way. Thank God for everyone that got saved and made up their mind, I'm going to live for the Lord, I'm going to serve God. I came to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Turn with me, if you will, with your Bibles. 11th chapter of Hebrews. One of the most beautiful chapters in the Bible. The Bible says, in that 11th chapter, and I'm going to begin with, I'm not going to be reading all of it, but in the 4th verse, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. Abel was righteous and served God to the very last breath. He made it. The next verse says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Here's a man that's serving God, that's loving God, that's living for God, that's working with God. And all of a sudden, God took him to heaven without dying. He is one that made it all the way to the end. I read the next part. 7th verse. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Here's a man that was serving God, loving God, was obeying God, and he did what God told him to do, and he built the ark, and when the flood came, the only ones that were saved were those in the ark. Thank God for people like Noah that were faithful all the way through. I read about Abraham in the 8th verse. When he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed God, and he went out not knowing whither he went. I find about Sarah in the 11th verse. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to receive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithfully who had promised. I turn the page and I come to a very important scripture in the 23rd verse. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child and They were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying some started and they went all the way. I'm going to read from the 30th verse. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, brought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received the dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, the bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder. They were tempted, they were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. I'm going to close out. Jesus said, a man that puts his hand to the plow, turns back, looks back, is not fit for the kingdom. I gave you some illustrations, and then I've read from some that made it. And they made it through to the end. I thank God for people like Paul, the last day of his life, testifying to the goodness of God. People like Peter felt he was not worthy to be crucified like the Lord, so they had him crucified upside down. But he made it. Thank God for the missionaries like William Carey, David Livingston, Jim Elliot, and the list goes on and on and on, Lottie Moon and so many others of yesteryear. Thank God for people of the church that I've known, Bishop J.A. Simon, W.H. Turner, R.O. Corbin, R.L. Rex, people that I've known personally, many of them in our home, that made it to the end with victory. And I've already looked across the crowd today. Thank God for some people this morning that have determined in their hearts, I'm going to cross the finish line with shout in my heart in my life. My wife is coming to the piano and I'm going to close. I want you to look this way. I'm not a whole lot to look at. But I want you to look this way. I'm going to give a testimony. One of these days, I'm going to give my last testimony. But by the grace and help of God, I am determined. I've made up my mind. I'm going to cross the finish line shouting the high praises of God. I intend to see the Lord when He comes. I intend to be caught out. If I die before the rapture, I'm going to be caught out of my grave. If I'm alive when the rapture takes place, I'm going to be changed and caught out. I intend to be ready. I intend to be faithful to God in these last years. I intend one day to enter into the gates of that city. I intend to walk on streets of gold. I intend to sing around the throne of glory, praises unto our God. I can't lead singing anymore for the special. I just don't have the voice. Don't have the breath. A lot of things I can't do that I used to do, but listen closely. Meet me in heaven. You're talking about singing. There's going to be some notes that we've never reached yet. Amen, amen. I am determined. I've made up my mind. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to run this race with patience. Whatever comes my way by the help of God, I'm going to keep on going, amen. I'm going to keep on walking one of these days. Hallelujah. I'm going to shout the high praises of God. Go to the sky. Hallelujah. I'm going to be with the Lord forever and forever and forever. Brother, I made up my mind. Now I ask you, while the piano's playing softly, have you come to that determination? If you have, say amen. If you have not yet sold out to God, determine in your heart, there's a pull back there. There's something back there that's pulling you back. Find the bridge. Make up your mind, you're going all the way. It's your choice. My choice. Anybody could go to heaven on their parents' religion? I could. My mom and my dad were Pentecostal believers when I was born. My grandparents were Pentecostal believers on both sides of the family. If I could go to heaven on somebody else's prayers, I could have been theirs. But I had to pray myself. I opened the invitation. We're going to stand in a moment and sing. If there's some here today that have not made up your mind that you're going to go in spite of everything that's back there, you're going to serve God. This morning you'd like to make a fresh start or whatever. I want to invite you to come and at the close of the service. Brother Stephen had called me and would love for us to anoint him with oil. Ask me about our church. We believe in anointing with oil and praying for the sick. Last Wednesday night's Bible study was totally about that. When you called me, Stephen, and we hung up, I was crying, thanking God because I believe that God's in it. What He's already done, He's able to do again. We mentioned healings last Wednesday night. What God has done, He's still able to do. Will you stand together with me? Right now, we're going to sing a chorus.